All right, Royce Unchained, presented by Josh Arnold, investment consultant, Mr. Money Talk. Dex was at the ballpark watching the Twins dramatically defeat those feisty White Sox, but the three of us were at Target Center last night.
Yes, and let me just say before we get into the Wolves, which might be topic A here, but I think that was a really bad loss for the White Sox chances to recover from this, don't you? I think emotionally they got to be a little bit down now that they're now that they won a even when they won a game, they still lost it. So that's
poor really White Sox.
Bad situation. 3-20. 3-20. That's unbelievable.
But anyway,
you know what else is unbelievable? And there's some stats coming out off the Wolves game that are incredible. 31-2 on turnovers, they outscored them. 31-2. And you know, And what Frank Vogel told us before the game was we got to get out and run, and they didn't let them get out and run. They only threw up 24 threes or something like that. The Wolves are doing a wonderful job of guarding the perimeter because you don't have to really guard it inside. You can let the Nurkic or whatever his name is get
Nurkic,
20.
Yeah.
Nurkic, and you can still, you know, if he gets 20, so what? As long as they aren't bombing in threes. And I'm sure not having the miserable lout Grayson Allen is hurting him too. Although even before he got hurt, he'd only gotten 2-3 shots off, right?
And they're yeah. But he spaces, and you have to account for him. So that's but when he came out of the game, I think it was tied, or it was like a 1-point game. Oh, yeah. And then when he came out of the game, it was just open season for the Wolves.
Well, the amazing thing about this is they end up winning easy, and they were terrible in the first half. They weren't terrible defensively, and Jaden McDaniels was still was doing some things. But 51-50, and I don't know, we all said to each other, man, they're lucky to only be down one. Didn't you feel that way at a halftime? Because they hadn't played well. And then the third quarter is definitely the time that they make hay, because they just shut them down completely. And I thought, you know, obviously McDaniels was the story. He was out of his mind. But I thought Cat was pretty good for not making shots. He didn't play stupid. He had like one idiotic play, one idiotic foul, and that was pretty good. But I haven't seen him often meld into what's going on there. He didn't have to run through anybody or run over anybody or, you know, beg to get some shots. He took his shots when they came, and I thought he was really good too.
And they've got the Suns so frustrated. Booker's a mess. Like, he is frustrated, and there's no time and space for him.
No. And I got home and I was watching the full, like at 10:30 or 10:45, some ESPN, I think it might've been on NBA.com, but they were breaking it down. And this guy was saying, he is not a point guard. You took one of the three best shooting guards in the world. And because you went and got a high profile guard, who's not a point guard, Bradley Beal. Now they have Devin Booker trying to do things that aren't Devin Booker, you know, that they let Chris Paul go, who was a point guard, an old point guard, but a point guard. And that they don't, how can you be that far over the salary cap and not have even a backup point guard that you want to use on the bench? Who do they use off the bench? Who's their other guard?
Well, they're literally playing an 8-man rotation.
Yeah.
And so they're not, and Eubanks is coming off the bench. They don't have great ball handlers for the type of defense the Wolves are playing, especially.
Yes. Yeah, it is amazing, though, that, you know, they come in here on that last Sunday and it looks like a mismatch in their favor. And you wonder, what are they going to do? And when you saw Finch after the game and even early in the week, it was like, hey, this is a great opportunity. Isn't it great that we got 5 days to you know, figure out how to play him? And man, I think he's the NBA coach of the year. I don't think there's any doubt about it. They were 66-1 to win the Suns were 6-1. They were 66-1 when the season started.
Yeah. And it almost, I know it doesn't operate this way, but it should almost be a 2-year arc where if you went back to the day that that trade was made and then the way that it kind of looked early on, the Gobert trade, and now you fast forward, this is exactly what I'm sure Chris Finch and Tim Connelly behind the scenes envisioned before they made the trade, but it took a year of clunkiness for you to figure it out. Like on a 2-year arc, it's amazing work that Chris Finch has done.
Well, and Rudy last year, he said, you can't get him more than 4 feet away from the basket. He's out there chasing guys around on the perimeter at times yesterday. He's all revved up and trying to go play defense anywhere he can. And he's really a good shooter on those dunks too. He makes those very well. He's a fine dunker, isn't he?
So, he is.
And he's
making
his free throws, for goodness sake. So I heard somebody say this, and they're right though. When Rudy makes a free throw, it like lifts up the whole crowd. Everybody's like, hey. They get all jacked up again because they don't have to groan. And then he goes up and makes 2 out of 2. And I can't imagine this survey that they take every year, the Athletic takes every year on certain things. And Rudy's always the most overrated player. Why is that? How does he have that many enemies, I wonder?
Well, I think part of it is he...
Beside the fact he gave the world COVID,
I think he clearly he's not in the good old boys club like the LeBron, Chris Paul. Like there's some players that travel together and they're friendly. I don't think his goal is to. He's kind of throwback in that he's not looking to make friends with the players that he's competing against. And so I don't think they like his personality. I don't think they like his game because it's this sort of clunky, unorthodox game. But to your point, he's literally out there guarding. I've seen in the first two games on the perimeter, him guarding Booker, him guarding Durant, him guarding Beal on switches, and he's holding his own.
Yeah, and if you can't, if you're 20 feet from the basket, 22 feet from the basket, and this big guy comes out running towards you and you can't go around him, then what are you going to do? As I said, they were spectacular. I mean, they had a few dull moments on Saturday, but they were spectacular Saturday. They, as a team. But last night, they weren't that great, and they still won comfortably. Because, I mean, if this is going to be the real Jaden McDaniels, look out. They are a handful in because, have you ever seen anything like it from him?
He's had some regular season games here and there, but in terms of just like all encompassing aggressiveness, offense, defense, that's about the best version we've seen. Yeah.
And, trying to punch Booker is better than trying to punch a wall. Everybody's used that whole time.
Exactly. And, you'd rather just take the technical and set the tone than be out for the whole series.
Yeah. Just don't connect with him.
But it's, to in his defense, to some degree, for half to 2/3 of the games, they just stick him down in the corner and stay out of the way, and teams don't guard him. But after last night, they're gonna have to guard him because he's gonna go around them. He made a couple of threes, but it was going around people that were amazing, slashing to the basket. We just haven't seen that.
What's the Suns' move, Pat?
I don't know, especially if Grayson Allen he looked worse leaving the court yesterday than he did leaving the court Saturday. I don't think he's coming back, and they need him to hit some shots. He hadn't hit any yet, but they obviously need him. I don't know. It's amazing what you think you're going to see, and then you see it. I'm saying this in all seriousness. Now our only problem is overconfidence, not of the players, but of the, they're not going to sweep. Okay, it's not Wolves in four. They're going to lose one of those down in Phoenix, and probably the game three, I would guess. And then, I think it's. What are the odds? What are the 2-0 odds of series in the NBA? That's got to be floating around.
It's not great. Yeah, I don't have it in front of me, but it's definitely not great.
90% or high 80%.
By the way, someone put out the note that there's been like in the last 20 or 30 years, whatever it's been, that We've had 44 different seven-game series with Wild and Timberwolves and Twins, or maybe even including some five-game series in Twins.
I saw that.
And it's a small handful of times only that a Minnesota team has even had a 2-0 lead in a series.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Twins did it four times. You know, the Twins were, because they played at home in the war, you know, the World Series years. They were, no, wait, they weren't. They, when they went to Toronto, they were 1-1. Remember that? 91. Okay. They were 1-1.
Yeah, no, it was the Twins against the Blue Jays last year. It was 92. The North Stars had a 2-0 lead on Detroit and blew it. Ooh. And then I think it was like the Wolves and Nuggets in 2004.
Yeah, the Wolves did.
And then like this. That's it.
Yeah. The Wolves did win the first two against Denver, but that series turned kind of tough because Denver won game three out there and gave them a war in game four, which is the one where Garnett threw the ball way up in the air and it came down and hit me in the head when I was typing. And the embarrassment was how high the ball went after it hit me in the head. It went like way up there, 50 feet.
But you kept going, man. You kept going, didn't you?
Then the next day I said, I'll settle for $100,000. We won't have to get the lawyers involved. And he said, it was you. That's how come the ball went so high up in the air. He said, after it hit you. That was back when he was still a decent guy before he turned into a complete jackass. But
I want him back at Target Center for a game. Wally Zerbiak was courtside last night.
Wally looking good, man. And he had his daughter with him, who's about, she looked, what, 12, 13 maybe? He had his daughter, an older girl. So he's, I remember everybody always kind of liked Wally, but it wasn't like he was a big hero in town here, but we all kind of like, what is he? Does Knicks post games now? Is that it?
And college basketball.
MSG, and then he does college.
Well, that's, but it was, I at halftime, I thought you were going to try and figure out who won with 12 seconds to go or something. I can't believe the way they ground them down. And there were a couple of times where one time over in the sideline where Booker just fell down because he got so, there was so many guys coming at him and trying to get him. He just kind of fell down and lost the ball. And how about now, Frank Vogel has kind of got this reputation as a fairly calm coach, right? He was going insane that one day. How did he not get a tee in the first half when he ran and jumped and did everything? And then he got teed up later. But he's a good coach, and he didn't have any solutions, that's for sure.
It would be if you're him and the Suns fans, and you saw those three regular season games, you felt really confident. Yeah. And then game one happens, and sometimes you can chalk it up to, okay, yeah, you're playing on the road. Of course, the other team is going to blitz you. So here, we're going to make some adjustments for game two. We're going to, like, they got out-rebounded. I think it was 52-28 in game one. So we're going to fix the rebounding. We're going to come out with more energy. And we're going to put a phone call into the league so that the officials tighten it up and help our guy Booker. Like, and by the way, all three of those things happened. The Suns won the rebounding edge. Booker got a better whistle. And they came out with more. I mean, they fell down 8-0, but they came out with more energy early, and they still lost. So it would be very frustrating if you're Frank Vogel.
Yes, it would. What Booker is, if you can keep him frustrated, you're in pretty good shape, aren't you? So
But
the other thing is, we talk about, this is a really good defensive team. How did they become that? Because when we got Finch, wasn't he like a offensive guru type guy? That's why you were getting him.
It's like the Brian Billick Ravens teams being great defensive teams or something.
Yeah, right. That's true. Brian Billick, offensive genius. Okay. Then we go to the Super Bowl. We hand off six times, end up winning.
But Colbert's a great starting point. He's so dominant inside.
Well, and like
I might have to rescind my statement that when I die, I'm going to have, right before I die, I'm going to have two questions. Is there a hereafter, and why did they make the Rudy Gobert trade? I'm going to have to.
You're going to rescind that one.
Yeah. I'm going to have to rescind that. I mean, I can't believe it.
But Pat, part of the reason why you felt that way is because the Jazz had two series against Dallas and the Clippers in the playoffs. And Rudy was kind of the scapegoat of, oh my God, yes. You can't even keep this guy on the court. But if you, and there was a bunch of smart people on YouTube that do film breakdowns that we got into some of that 2 years ago, and they were showing it, actually, if you look at the Utah Jazz perimeter defenders, Donovan Mitchell, Joe Ingles, these random dudes can't stay in front of anyone. And Rudy looks bad at the end of the play because he's the one that's running around with his arms flailing. And that's not happening here because Jaden McDaniels and Nikhil Alexander Walker are out there holding the perimeter down. So it's a different roster.
You know, when you're sitting in the seats we sit in and those two are on the floor, him and Jaden and Nikhil, and they're kind of both, you're not sure which is which until you look and see the number. Because, I mean, Nikhil's obviously shorter, but they play the same defensive
length,
way.
Length, arms, yeah.
Just a lot of, yeah, what a pickup that guy is for free. Nikhil.
That was a kick in. Yeah.
I know. Kick in. Man alive. Say, I told you guys this before we started here, and the word's going to get out here in a minute. But Al Shaver has died. Al's family's released the news today. And Obed, I think he died on must have been yesterday. No, 2 days ago, maybe. 22nd is when he died. And they're. I think 95, 96, something like
wow.
that. I did a column on him a couple of years ago celebrating some anniversary, and just it was his wife had died, and you know, they were like really 60 years of marriage or something, and he was really he moved because he was so depressed living in the house they lived in Vancouver Island, because it gave him too many memories. So he went to kind of a senior's place. But, I was thinking, Judd, as you're a kid then, a big North Star fan, I think he was a big reason we thought it was a classy organization, even when it wasn't. You know, yes. I mean, Norm got there, but you always had good thoughts of the North Stars because Al was the one delivering the message to you, right?
Yep. Well, and I mean, he was on the radio, the soundtrack of that team. And that's back when teams had a soundtrack.
Right.
He was it. And what a great guy, too. Just a great guy.
And they brought him back was it the first year or two with the Wild? Didn't he jump back in out of retirement or no?
Didn't they have him into a couple of games or something?
No, he came back. He came back and was here for the dedication of the press box in his name. But Bob Kurtz actually said a couple of times, hey, Al, if you'd like to jump in and do a period. And Al being Al's like, I got no interest, but thank you.
Yeah, that's right. He did.
But I mean, he and Shirley went to Vancouver Island and did like theater.
Yeah. Yeah.
They did plays. They did stuff. Because he retired when the North Stars left. Norm said, you can come. And he said, no, thanks. And he went and basically said, I'm done. I'm done. So,
yeah. And he said to me, he wanted to retire at 64, 65. You know, I'm not sure how old he was, but I'll have to look back and see what I wrote. But I was thinking of that I never, in all the times I just talked to him or saw him or something, I never had an unpleasant, you know, it was always like a great 3-minute experience talking to Al. But the other thing is, I've lamented the fact, you know, you lament when you're at my point, you lament what you didn't do, you know, to get a great piece.
Sure.
And I always said, you know, he and Sonmore, he did the Gophers for 3 years after the North Stars left. And he and Sonmore would drive every place but the CC or Denver, the rest of the Michigan Tech places like that, they drive. And I always said, why didn't I get in the car and drive to Michigan Tech with these two lunatics and then ride back? You wouldn't have a column. You'd have a book. Listen to those two guys tell stories. Can you imagine those car rides? Just the two of them. Poor, you know, and Sodmore talking at least 80% of the time for sure. But it would have been fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
It would have been fantastic. Man, that was, that would have been fun. But he was really a good guy. Remember Judd there in the press box that he always had above his head this little sign that says, give score. He'd always get help. He'd always get a hard time for not giving the score. So, you know, because old time hockey listeners, what's the score? They turn on, they want to know, it's not on TV. They want to know when they turn it on what the score is. And Al had this little sign above his head, give a score.
Yeah, man.
That's awesome.
Was there any chance or thought that he would go to Dallas after the team moved, or was that just a non-starter?
They asked him and he said no. That's Judd said. He didn't lie. He gave me the reason for it. He said, I'm not, he had family, he was set in Minnesota and they knew what he wanted to do when he retired, and he wasn't gonna. Plus Dallas, he wants it to be cold in the winter. He's a Canadian. And where was he from originally? Somewhere in Canada, right?
Yeah,
I know area. Canada.
Yeah, I think
sure
Toronto area.
Yeah.
But he the two greatest things he told me was when the North Stars went to the Stanley Cup Finals and lost in 81 and came back in 81-82 with the so close that we can taste it.
Yes.
He said that slogan was death. He said that was the worst slogan I've ever seen. You're tempting fate. And then the second one was he said the day I saw that Norm changed from the N to a star, he said they're gone.
But it is funny that, like, he was right too, because the 81 team was really good, but the 82 team was better, but they got beat in the first round, right, by the Blackhawks.
Murray Bannerman, Blackhawks goaltender, just stoned them.
Yeah, you go back and you look at that, and they they've got out, what were they like, 40 points behind them or something? The Blackhawks, the team that beat them. Yeah. Didn't Savard score the winner? Was it, or was that the next? No,
it's very possible. I don't recall.
Yeah. I remember. Al was, and he tried baseball too, Phil. The CCO wanted to take advantage of his popularity by getting him on baseball, and he did about a week, and he said, I'm no good at this. And he quit, he just quit. They didn't fire him. They didn't tell him he was no good. He said, I'm no good at baseball.
Man, so, I'm currently looking through old promotional posters online of like WCCO's North Stars coverage. Mm-hmm. And there's one, it's a black and white, and it's Al Shaver with a hockey stick wearing a suit with the big collar and there's pucks. And there's someone else I'll refer to. It says, our stars bring you the North Stars. WCCO Radio 830, sponsored by Chevrolet and Western Airlines. Al Shaver and Steve Cannon are on the billboard.
Steve is his power.
Man.
You never lived until you heard Steve do the play-by-play on Gopher Hockey. Number 17 passing over to 20 down here underneath the WCCO microphone. I've always said that's an unbelievable talent to announce hockey, especially on the radio, right?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
And to keep up with the puck. But Steve never got to that part. He just learned numbers, So you had to have a roster in front of you when he was doing the game.
And don't forget, Al worked road games alone.
Yes, right. Yeah,
they didn't travel.
Well, no, Cannon was making... Cannon was getting too many free refrigerators as the doing a daily show on CCO. They couldn't afford to put him on the road, for goodness sakes. A lot of times he didn't have a partner, right? But except for the couple of years they gave him Cannon. And then he got
home
Ralph
games. He did.
Then he got Ralph at the end, right?
Well, he had Mark Boyle, your guy Bruce Gordon.
Oh yeah,
but that was all home games.
Yeah, home games. Yeah, yeah. Mark Boyle. The Boyle was still going like a year or two ago down in Indianapolis.
He's still going. Pacers games. He's been the voice of the Pacers for probably 30 years.
Yeah, he's a good guy too. Oh. All right. Well,
Al Shaver, legend.
That's sad news.
All right. Life, thank you, gentlemen.
All right, Pat. We will we'll talk to you a couple more times this week. It's draft week. Royce Unchained presented by
Get out there, ladies and gentlemen. You only have two more chances to see the Whiteys this week. Come on, get over.
Get to
the
Target Field.
Yes. See you. Goodbye.
All right. See you, Pat.